We're going to go to the book of John, and we're going to look at three verses, John chapter 12, 17, 18, and 19. And I will read those verses, and you will join me in the last two words. Okay, the last two words you'll read with me from this passage. John 12 and 17, on down to verse 19, and you read with me the last two. The people, therefore, that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. In other words, they were talking about it. Wouldn't you? Saw a dead man walking. I think I'd have something to say. Praise God. For this cause, the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how you prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." Praise God. Now that's not a rallying cry of the police or the cavalry or whatever after him, you know, then the mad chase goes on. We're talking about after him because we believe him, because we trust him, because we've experienced his power, and we know how great he is. So we're going to go after him. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, perhaps a slight exaggeration of the Pharisees in their frustration and feel like they were not accomplishing what they wanted in opposing the Lord and holding back the spread of his fame and word of his power. And certainly a dead man walking and talking is going to cause a great stir. And people are going to report it. They are going to bear record. Many heard about that miracle, and the word just spread like wildfire. And so it should. The Pharisees and their frustration of trying to, you know, there's a lot of undercurrents that were going on here. A lot of political concerns, a lot of feelings that their authority was being threatened, and just various things that were happening that we're not seeing in these verses caused them to feel like they needed to downplay the situation a bit. And then they were feeling so frustrated. Perceive ye how you prevail nothing? Everything that you're attempting, everything that you're doing is coming to naught. And the whole world has gone after him. Oh, would that be the truth? Praise God. Would that be the actual experience? The whole world follow after him. Praise God. That's going to be an awesome time. In the 1,000 years of peace that we're here, and there's no devil, there's no sin, there's no temptation, but the Lord is here for 1,000 years. Praise God. That's an incredible prophecy. And the whole world then will be gone after him. Praise the Lord. But we think about God and his power. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke, "Let there be light." And even before there was the sun and the moon and the galaxies and stars and so on, there was incredible light. He spoke the worlds into existence. The worlds, the Bible says, were framed by the word of God. We understand through faith. We don't understand about gravity and magnetic fields and orbits and revolutions and all of those things. Astronomers and tell us about it, and we see pictures from the space probes that are sending back images of the moons of Saturn and and Jupiter and the rings and so on. But there's no explanation as to why there are flat rings instead of just a jumbled cloud of those rings. We talked about it in Bible study with the Snyders. You know, how come it's so symmetrical? How come it's so orderly? How come it's not chaos and just confusion because it just happened? Huh, my God spoke it into his existence. He said, this is the way that's going to be. This is the way that's going to go. This is how big the orbit's going to be. And this is how long it's going to take. And that's the way I said it. And that's the way it is. That's how great our God is. That's how powerful he is. Praise God. He commanded light to shine, and thank God he has shined his light for us. And he has made a way for us to walk in his light. Now, Adam and Eve were the world. They were the total population of the earth, and they walked and talked with God. They had a wonderful opportunity for fellowship with the divine. And they heard the voice of God. They felt his presence. And this went on perhaps for many, many years as they had the opportunity to be in fellowship with the Lord. But we know sin ruined that. The devil always holds forth his temptations as though you're missing out on something good. You're missing out on something that's pleasurable and fun and satisfying. But sin ruins. Always has, always does, always will. You're not missing anything. Amen. But you're gaining so much to be in the presence of God. You're not missing anything when you don't involve yourself in sin. But you're gaining so much to be in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. Now, fear showed itself for the first time. Adam replied, when the Lord inquired, where art thou? He said, I was afraid. Yeah. Fear for the first time. That's a product of sin. Yeah. That's how the devil operates. He'll torment you with fear. But perfect love, the love of the Lord, casts out fear. Praise God. And Adam then hid himself from the presence of the Lord. Again, the downward spiral of sin. It doesn't satisfy, it doesn't lift up, it doesn't fulfill. No, it detracts and subtracts and takes you away from him. But God's plan is the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever includes the whole world. Praise God. That's God's plan. That's how the Lord wanted to do it. He was in the world was made by him, but the world knew him not. Is how John records in the beginning verses of his book. And then he goes on after proclaiming that God so loved the world. Verse 17, God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. That was not his purpose. The world was already condemned. But that the world through him might be saved. Oh my, the whole world is God's plan. But the sin problem, that's what had to be dealt with. The sin question. The idea that sin separated, sin ruined fellowship and relationship with the Lord. Thank God he came to take care of that problem. He let Joseph know, call his name Jesus, the one that will be born of Mary. Name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Notice, it wasn't so that God would receive the glory, and he's worthy of it. It wasn't so that all could exclaim about the miracles that he did, and thank God he performed miracle after miracle. It wasn't that focus that the angel gave to Joseph in that dream. It was sin. He's going to take care of it. He's going to save his people from their sin. Praise God. I'm thankful the Hebrews were included, all of them. And the whole world was included because 1 John 2:2 says, he is the propitiation or the sacrifice, the atonement for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Wow. That's quite an answer. For the whole world, the sins would be taken care of. Jesus is the once and for all sacrifice. So his desire was to reach the world. The world is gone after him, they complained. And that was God's plan. In the parable of a sower, he said, the field is the world. When he was talking about being light, he said, I am the light of the world. He desired to reach the whole world. He sent his disciples, go ye into all the world. And thank God he went with them, confirming the word with signs following. Thank God we're not out here on our own trying to proclaim something, trying to change our world, trying to get their attention to look at Jesus. I'm thankful his power still does miracles. His hand still brings healing. His power is still displayed to deliver, hallelujah, and bring salvation. That's why I lift up that name. That's why I exalt his name above all others. That's why I'm thrilled to be in his presence and know the goodness of God to bring forth his power. Amen. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The whole world. The whole world. Praise God. Ripples of revival were to spread throughout the whole world. And that's what the Lord did. Praise God. He ministered to multitudes. Great multitudes followed him, the Bible says. And he healed them all. And then it begins in chapter 15 of Matthew. It begins to name some categories of those that were healed. The lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed. Many others were brought to Jesus and he healed them. Glory to God. All of these multitudes. Multitudes. He took care of their needs. Amen. In so much that the multitude wondered. When they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, the blind to see. And they glorified God. Praise God. Amen. He had compassion on the multitudes. 7 loaves, a few little fishes. Didn't get them out of the Kenai. Didn't find them in Cook Inlet. But they did eat. 4,000 men beside women and children. Praise God. And those were filled with the food that was provided for them by his miraculous touch. Thank God thousands would be filled with his spirit as a result of his promise. God's spirit poured out. The analogy of water is very appropriate because water is so essential to life. All of these probes that are flying around out there in our solar system right now, sending back these amazing pictures of the various moons and the planets and so on, what they're looking for is water. They get all excited if they see some evidence of ice and think that there may be a source of water, because water means potential for life. So that's why the Lord used water to symbolize the power of the Spirit, a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Out of you shall flow rivers of living water. And this spake he of the Spirit. Praise God. And the Spirit came as promised. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the 120 that were gathered together in that upper room. Mary and the brothers of Jesus, the half-brothers of Jesus. Praise God. Pilate had written just a few weeks before in 3 languages and put it on the cross. The Spirit spoke in more than 15 languages. Thank God. The Lord desires the whole world to know about his power. Peter quoted from the prophecy of Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. The spirit is like water to a thirsty world. Hallelujah. And oh, incredible increase that the Lord brought that day. 3,000, one more added to the 120 that initially received it, and then 5,000. And then Acts 5 and 14 says the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Acts 6 and 7, the word of God increased in the number of the disciples, multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. But again, opposition. Just like opposition to the Lord and their complaint that the whole world was gone after him, opposition comes to the apostles and they say, and actually it's a compliment, behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Praise God. Filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. With your teaching. They held to it. They didn't compromise on it. They knew that that was what would bring life. That's what would bring deliverance. The truth from the word of God. Amen. Powerful evangelism that started in Jerusalem and spread out from there. Just like the Lord said it was going to happen. Acts 17 and 6. They complained again. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. That powerful evangelism continued. They were power witnesses for the Lord. Praise God. You know, the problem is some people don't want their world disturbed. They don't want things to be upside down. Well, actually, right side up. That's how the Lord will fix it for you. Amen. And work it out for you. But they don't want their world disturbed. That's why the scripture says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, there's got to be a choice. Either love the world or love the Father. It's not going to be a coexistence type thing. Not going to be half this and half that, or 60-40, 30-70, whatever percentage that you would come up with. Love of the Father has got to be the priority. And I think it would be right to even say, love not your world. We can become so attached to things. We can become so enamored with all of the things that we've been blessed with that we love our world more than we love the kingdom and the Father. God help us have the right priorities. Amen. To walk in the right way and reach for the world. The Lord said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We know that the scripture says from Psalm 127 and 1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build. We're not laboring in vain to build the name of Jesus, to build a house for his name. Amen. We're not laboring in vain to go to Eagle River and pastor a church and believe that God is going to raise up a people for his name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. And the gates of hell are not going to prevail when you bring forth your efforts to evangelize, when you witness, when you testify, when you reach out, when you have revival, when you invite the Sunday school. The gates of hell are not going to prevail. God's power is going to come forth. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Paul witnessed to King Agrippa and said, I know you believe because this thing was not done in a corner. We're not talking about a little corner activity that people might, in all the hustle and bustle of life, might ignore and feel like, oh, well, it's just some fringe group there. They're just some people that get all excited about the name and the spirit, and they sing and clap and march around their church. That just leave them in their little corner. Paul said this was not done in a corner, because earlier he had said, King, why do you think it's such a thing incredible that God would raise the dead? It is incredible. He hadn't seen anybody else raised from the dead. There had not been any other Roman god or Greek god or otherwise that would raise the dead, but Jesus does. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. It's not done in a corner. It's not something to be ignored. It's not something that's going to pass away. It's not some little fad that's going to fade. Thank God. We're going to walk on with the Lord and know His power and His blessing. And then Paul told his testimony. I saw a light from heaven. I heard the voice. Praise God. You've got a testimony to touch your world. Amen. You've got something to share. Keep reaching, because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I'm so thankful that included me. I'm so thankful that included you. We can all come to repentance. We can ask the Lord to forgive us. We can ask the Lord to change us. Our sins can be washed away in the powerful name of Jesus, in the waters of baptism. We can be filled with the Spirit of the Lord so that we could be an overcomer. Amen. Paul's writing, and he says, Do you despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? You feel like that's just something that's owed you? That you can just walk in those things and not say thanks to the Lord and not feel like you are obligated to give him praise and to surrender your life to him? Don't you know the goodness of God leads you to repentance? Not there to make you feel like you're okay when you know you're not, according to the Word of God. No, it's to lead you back into His power, into His presence, and to know the goodness and the strength of the Lord. So we go after Him. Go after Him. That little baby lying in the manger in Bethlehem. The incredible display that the shepherd saw, hearing the heavenly host and the angelic choir. And then they would say, we need to go and see. They went after him. Praise God. Those wise men who made that long journey based on the sign that they saw in the sky and arrive at Jerusalem. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? And then the word of God had to be consulted for them to be directed to where he was born. And they read the word of God, and they went to Bethlehem, and they worshiped him, and they presented their gifts. Oh, let the word of God lead you to more of what God wants for you. Let the word of God be fulfilled in your life. Let it be that connection that brings you into the power and presence of the Lord, because he came for you. That vulnerable little baby, helpless, crying, wet diapers, he came for you. Amen. Think about it now. He left eternity, the realm that he inhabits. He left eternity and came to dwell in time upon this earth. 33 years he stayed here. He left the glory of heaven to come to the dirt of the earth. He knew no sin, the Bible says, but he became sin so that we who don't know righteousness can move into that realm of the righteousness of God, move from sin into the righteousness of God. The lame, the blind, the maimed, they came after him and they walked away. Whole, healed. That's the kind of God he is. Praise God. Hallelujah. He came to spend time on earth so that you and I could spend eternity with him. Oh, man. I hope the Christmas story just is not a story, not just a pageant, not just a program, not just the manger scenes and joy to the world and that sort of thing. But it really gets a hold of us. And we understand what he was doing when he came. the glory that indeed was displayed and the joy that indeed can go to the world. Praise God. See, the new birth that he taught is not just a thrill, like a carnival ride. And you say, oh, wow, that was exciting. I wonder what else we could do. No, the new birth, born of his name in the waters of baptism, filled with the Spirit, is something that will help you to change and be an overcomer. Amen. And to live victorious in the power of the Lord over all the power of the enemy. Praise God. All the power of the enemy. You have power. Amen. Go after him. Many invitations from the Lord. Come unto me, he says many times. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. There it is at the end of the book. At the end of the Bible, Revelation 22:17. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. The invitation for the Spirit again with water. Amen. And then there's going to come the sound of the voice. And we're going to hear the shout. And the trump of God is going to sound. Praise God. And the dead in Christ are going to go after him. Praise God. They're going to rise and go after him. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to go after him. To meet the Lord in the air. Hallelujah. 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 I don't want to be distracted by something from this world. I don't want to let myself be offended that I'm not going to, I'm going to step back. I'm not going to be a part. No, I'm going to go after him with everything I've got within me. I'm going to go after him with my whole heart, with my whole mind, with my whole being. I'm going to go after him and obey the word of the Lord with everything I've got within me. I'm going to go after him because I want to spend eternity with him. Praise God. Praise God. Would you stand with me now? Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Think about that. The awe, the wonder, as those shepherds stepped into that humble little stable. They'd been to stables many times before. They'd helped with lambing in the lambing season. They'd brought little lambs into the world and cleaned them up and so on and put them by their little ewe moms to nurse and all. They were familiar with the stable. They knew about it. But then to come and see the Lamb of God. Probably not comprehending all that was going to take place. Maybe some of them weren't alive 33 years later to hear of him hanging on a cross. Maybe some of the younger shepherds were and they could remember. We saw him. We saw him in that stable. And oh, how amazing that he'd be willing to go to that length, to that extent, to that degree, so that we could have the opportunity to know him and the power of his name and the power of his Spirit. Praise God. The wise men coming from that great distance, great expense, their thrill and enthusiasm, their rejoicing when they saw the star again and how it stood over where he was. And they came in and worshiped, presenting their gifts, all of their finery, all of their gold, all of the expensive clothing that they had to give honor to him that is born king. And then the angel warned them in a dream to go home a different way. Thank God, that's what the Lord does for us. We go home different. We're changed. We don't remain the same. But in the presence of the Lord, there's a touch that comes from him, brings a change in our lives. I want to keep going after him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I invite you to come and pray today.